And he said one of the things that he did as a shepherd during that time of the year is that he would take grease or he would take oil and he would put it over the head and the face of the sheep or the rams. And as they would come in this duel and approach each other and attack each other, as they would bump heads, what would happen would be is they would slide off of one another and they would do very little harm or very little injury. And he likened that to the Father. And he said that God is the same way, that God has anointed us with the Holy Spirit.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Bumping Heads with Other Saints 2 from our series, Bumping Heads with Other Saints. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Bumping Heads with Other Saints, Part 2.
And last week, we started a message in Psalm 23. So I'm going to ask that you would turn there. Psalm 23. And as we pointed out last week, this is the Psalm of the Shepherd. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And in this psalm, he's relaying the idea of a shepherd's care for the sheep. And he's making an analogy to God's care for his people. And we're focusing particularly on verse 5, where it says here that thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And this is the phrase that we have captured for the series that we are in. Thou anointest my head with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. And this series arises out of the questionnaires or the surveys that were handed out several weeks ago, where we asked about five questions. The fifth question that was asked, what message or what messages do you think that Bethany needs to hear the most? And overwhelmingly, the topic was how to deal with one another, how to react in conflict, subject issues around that matter right there. So we have actually started a series last week. The title of the series is Bumping Heads with Other Saints. Bumping Heads with Other Saints. And we looked at this idea in the 23rd Psalm of how the sheep, and you've probably seen it, especially the rams, how that they in the fall would vie to see who was the top ram. And the males would go at it. And one of the ways that they would go at it is they would line up at a distance from each other. And then they would just run. And they would butt heads. And as they would run and butt heads, several devastating things could happen. Number one, it could cause injury or even death to the sheep. Also, it would scare off the other sheep. When they heard this noise going on and they saw this turmoil taking place, they would be frightened and they would run off. And the sheep would do this all night long, just running butt heads all night long. So one of the things that the shepherd would do, and in case you want to know the reference for this, is in a book by Philip Keller, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, where he deals with this whole issue in there. He was not only a pastor, but he was also a shepherd for a while. So he is speaking from a firsthand point of view. And he said one of the things that he did as a shepherd during that time of the year is that he would take grease or he would take oil and he would put it over the head and the face of the sheep or the rams. And as they would come in this duel and approach each other and attack each other, as they would bump heads, what would happen would be is they would slide off of one another and they would do very little harm or very little injury. And he likened that to the Father. And he said that God is the same way, that God has anointed us with the Holy Spirit. And that as he has anointed us with the Holy Spirit, that he realizes that we as his people are going to bump heads at times. Oh, but my brothers and sisters, if you are anointed with the Holy Spirit, if you are anointed with the Parakletos, the one who is called alongside to encourage you, you'll be able to bump heads with other saints and will not do any devastating damage. Because you see, any people who are in a relationship, whether it's with two people or whether it's with 5,000 people, there is the potential for conflict. I don't care where you're at. There is the potential for conflict in a family, in a marriage, in a church. There's the potential for conflict. And so given the fact that at some point, you know, I always say you're either in a trial, you just got out of a trial, or you're getting ready to go into a trial. Well, you know, it's the same thing with conflict. You're either in conflict, you just got out of conflict, or you're getting ready to go into conflict. I don't care who you are. Everybody runs into conflict. Just look at last week, all the conflict that we had with certain people saying things about the war in Iraq. There was conflict there. There's going to be a lot of conflict as we try to replace Sandra Day O'Connor on the Supreme Court. There's going to be conflict there. So no matter where you're at in life, conflict is a part of things that people deal with. I like what Time Magazine had a caption under an article. They took a picture of three NFL football players. The one in the middle was a white player, and the two on the sides were black players. And they had the black players had their arms around the white player, and they were, you know, kind of shouldering him up. And underneath the picture, there was this caption. It said this: "What counts most in creating a successful team is not how compatible its players are, but how they deal with incompatibility." Wow. Isn't that so true? It doesn't make any difference how compatible we are. The issue is, how do we work through and deal with incompatibility? Our message today is bumping heads with other saints. Bumping heads with other saints. You know, it's very interesting last week, and I said this at the conclusion of the message last week, that some of Satan's greatest times to bring conflict among his people is right after church. Yeah, right after church. And I had stood back there and I shook hands with everybody. And as I was leaving the church, going down the steps, one of the saints came and got in my face about something. And I said, see, that's why you got to be ready at all times. You got to be ready. And as a saint came and got in my face, I said, "Thank you very much for letting me know that information." And they just kind of like, but so you got to be prepared. You got to be ready to deal with conflict. If you're not, you know, it's like the armor of God. When you get into a battle, you can't say, "Well, look, I left my helmet at home. I left my shield at home. Hold on, Satan, 1 minute. Let me run back to the crib and get the weapons of warfare." Yo, you got to have them on. You got to be ready to deal with issues as they come. You can't, you know, this thing, you can't be, I'm finding out that you can't be taken by surprise anymore. Because, see, that's when, and we're going to get into this first point here in a second, but that's when the flesh creeps in, when you are not prepared. That's when folk get in the flesh. And, you know, as we looked last week, we said that bumping heads among the saints is a common thing. So you know, hear me. Don't think that when you bump up against somebody that this is something that's not supposed to happen. Don't think when you bump up against somebody that this is something that is unknown in the faith. Man, the people of God have always bumped heads. We looked at it last week. Jesus and Peter bumped heads. Jesus said, Peter said to Jesus that, "Look, Jesus, you know, don't talk about this cross stuff. We don't want to hear about you going to the cross." And Jesus said to Peter, "Look, get behind me, Satan." Conflict. There was conflict between the Grecian believers and the Hebrew believers. The Grecians weren't being taken, the widows weren't being taken care of. And so there was a little conflict that went on there. And that's why they called deacons in Acts chapter 6 to handle the issues that were coming up as a result of conflict. The disciples had conflict. The mother of James and John came to Jesus and said that when my sons come into the kingdom, let them sit on your right and left hand. And the Bible says that the other disciples got offended and they got upset. How dare her? The nerve of her to ask her sons to sit on the right hand and the left hand. We are here just as much as they are. And so conflict arose. Two ladies in Philippi, Eutychia and Syntyche. Paul said, somebody pull these, listen to this. These two saints that have helped me take the gospel, that have helped me witness to others, somebody sit these saints down and help them work through this issue. We see that Paul and Barnabas had conflict. Two godly men, two, check this out now, missionaries had problems. They were out leading people to Christ. They were out carrying the gospel over the whole world. And it came time on the second trip to go again, and Barnabas said, let's take John Mark. And Paul said, I don't want to take him. He left the first time. And the Bible says the contention between them was so sharp. Two men of God, two godly men. The contention between them was so sharp that they split, that Paul went in one direction and Barnabas went in the other direction. And then that famous conflict that we see in Galatians when Peter was perpetrating with the Gentiles, and then when the Jews would come, he would do something, he would act completely different. Paul said, I came and I got in Peter's face because what he was doing was not right. Conflict. So I hope that you can see that conflict is a part of relationships. So as we move into the message today, how can we, given the fact, all right, and I need somebody to say amen here. You know, I'm not one of the ones that need a little feedback, but on this one, I want to hear you say amen. How many people know that we're going to bump heads?
Amen.
Amen. All right. I just need to hear you say that. We're going to bump heads. That's a given. Now, this is my question today. How do we bump heads without doing damage? How do we bump heads with others without doing damage? And I've got about 5 or 6 points, but we're only going to hit 2 of them today. The first point is believers can bump heads without doing damage because they have been anointed with power over the flesh. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. He says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do those things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, wrath, factions, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, we got the Holy Spirit. This anointing that God has placed over the head and the bodies of the sheep, his people. So that this Holy Spirit is able, when we find ourselves. So, you know, it's something to see two football players on the field. And for one guy to be the defensive guy and the other to be the offensive guy, like Brother Mike talked about, he used to be able to shake and bake. You know, that old age will take away either the shake or the bake. But you know, when they come in and they contact and just full speed against each other, I tell you what, I've been out there. I've been on the football field. And you know what? It hurts. You might get up and shake it off, but it hurts when you come full speed into another person. But you know what? God is looking for Emmett Smiths, and God is looking for Gale Sayers, who that when it comes time for conflict, that you might bump up against each other, but guess you'll slide on off to one side, and you'll slide on off to the other side, and there won't be a whole lot of hurt and a whole lot of damage that takes place. And that's why he anoints us with this Spirit, because he knows we're going to bump up with each other. And he says that since you've been anointed with the Spirit of God, that you shouldn't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Whenever two saints stay in, or more than two saints, stay in continual conflict, you are in the flesh. I don't care how much you come to church and you sing how much I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus. And you come and you say, praise the Lord. And you can quote all the passages and major passages in the Bible. That if you have unresolved conflict, the scripture is very clear. And I'm going to show you that in a second. I'm going to show you right from the scripture that you are in the flesh. Now, he says here in verse 16, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. You know, there is a constant conflict that's going on in your life. I don't care who you are. You can be the Pope, Billy Graham. I don't care who you are. There's a constant struggle because we are people of the flesh. There's a constant struggle that goes on. Somebody said like this, two natures beat within my breast. One I love and one I hate, the one I feed will dominate. That's the bottom line. That these two natures that beat within your breast, the flesh and the spirit, guess which one is going to win? The one that wins is the one that you feed. The one, if you sit around and you feed off of a bunch of gossip and you feed off of a bunch of negativity and you feed off of a bunch of immorality, guess what? It don't take a brain surgeon to figure this out here. It really doesn't take somebody with a PhD to figure this out, that if you are feeding off of immorality and evil and wickedness, then guess what part of your nature that you are feeding? You are feeding the flesh. And when you feed the flesh, you're going to continue to be in conflict. And Paul becomes very specific as he goes on to spell out what this means. Look in verse 20. He says, idolatry and sorcery. He says that these are all works of the flesh. These are works of the flesh. Hatred, strife, jealousy, wrath, faction, sedition, and heresies. Now look at your notes this morning. And what I did, I broke all these words down for you. And I even put what it is in the King James and the NIV and the New American Standard. Because I know sometimes we have different translations, and this is one of those difficult passages where the words are used sometimes interchangeably. So I tried to break it down so that we can see exactly what it is he's saying. Now, keep in mind what he prefaced this with. He said that these are works of the flesh. All right? He was very clear about it. These are works of the flesh. The first one that we have is the King James is hatred, and the NIV is hatred, and the New American Standard is enmities. Well, let's look at what is that Greek word? The Greek word refers to ongoing conflicts between nations, groups, or individuals. That's what that word means. That word hatred there. It means ongoing conflicts between nations, groups, or individuals. How do we apply that? It's good to know it, but how do we apply that? Do not allow bitterness and hatred to reside in the heart due to unresolved conflicts. You know, some folk are mad and upset and bitter with each other about something. If you went back and asked them, well, where did this all start? Sometimes they couldn't even tell you. Couldn't even tell you where it came from. Somebody told me that the feud between the Hatfields and McCoys, that it went on for years and years and years, and eventually it got to the point where all the people that was initially there at the conflict had died off, and the other ones just kept it going because that was the way it was they had done all those years. God said in his word, he said if there's ongoing conflict between you and somebody else, that you need to put an end to it. You need to put an end to it. Don't allow it to go on. Because what is it? It's a work of the flesh. Oh, I'm not saying that you're going to leave and everything is going to be peaches and cream. I'm not saying that you're going to leave and you guys are going to be buddy-buddy, best of friends, let's hug, kiss, and make up. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that at some point, to sit down and address the issue head on and at least be able to walk away and say that we are going to treat each other civilly, that we are going to walk away from here realizing that we are God's people, that we are in this thing together, and that we are going to at least understand that
this issue has been here and that we are doing everything in our power to work at a resolution. I believe that's God's will. Anything less than that, Paul makes it clear that you're in the flesh. You're in the flesh. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when we think about this idea of the flesh and think about a dead animal and how that when an animal dies, it stinks and you can smell the flesh rotting. Man, that's one of the most putrid smells that's out here is rotting flesh. You know, what if we were in the flesh, we started to stink? You know, we'd probably be trying to clean things up real quick. You know, because we don't want to stink. You know, we don't want to be around folks stinking. And we try to clean it up. But yet and still, we let our flesh dominate. We let our flesh run things whenever we allow conflicts to go on unresolved. The second word he uses is this word variance. And the NIV says discord, and the New American Standard says strife. What is this? This is strife, discord, dissension, or conflict. And so what he's saying here is that if there's strife or discord, that you got to put an end to it. You got to stop it. You got to put an end to it. See, sometimes folk want to put an end to stuff, but they don't really want to put an end to it. They want to put an end to it maybe outwardly, but in their heart, they want to keep it going. You know, some folk need to be in conflict. You know, that life don't feel right unless they're in conflict. And so even though they might have settled out with, I'm not letting it go inside. I'm going to keep it on. This is like these two Jewish brothers that had gone to the rabbi. They had this conflict that was going on between them. And the rabbi sat down and talked to them and tried to help them work through the issue. And it was a Jewish New Year. And they had sat down and worked it out. And they had made peace with each other. And because of the Jewish New Year, the rabbi said, well, why don't each one of you make a wish for each other? And so they made a wish for each other. And the rabbi asked the one, he said, what did you wish for? He said, well, I wish for the same thing that he wished for me. And the other brother said, see, I knew you weren't going to let it go. See, sometimes we want to resolve things outwardly, but inwardly we still want to hold on to them. We don't want to let them go. Paul says here, get out of the flesh. Let it go. Let release this thing from your spirit. You know, you don't have to hold on to this thing, and you don't have to hold on to this conflict. You can let it go. That's why, you know, we have scripture in the Bible. Well, let me move on, because I'm going to come back to that later. The third word he uses is the word jealousy, and the Greek word there is envious and contentious rivalry. And what he's saying here is do away with resentment that comes out of an envious heart. That if you are envious against another person and that causes conflict, then let it go. If somebody has something that you don't have, or they have something that you want, and all of a sudden this bitterness sets in your heart, this jealousy sets in your heart, and it turns to resentment and bitterness, he said, that's a work of the flesh. Let it go. Let it go. Here goes one right here. The King James says wrath. The NIV says fits of rage, and the New American Standard says outburst. The Greek word is rage or explosion of anger. Control your behavior and your anger at all times. See, my natural tendency last week when somebody approached me with an issue is to get a little warm under the collar. How dare you come and ask me something like that? You know, how dare you? You know, and begin to seethe and begin to writhe in my spirit. But you know, I guess because it's a good thing I had preached this message. Maybe go.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Bumping Heads with Other Saints, part. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Bumping Heads with Other Saints, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Saint, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Bumping Heads with Other Saints, Part 2. Or call us at 877 877- 831-5060. When you visit our website, incurredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit incurredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.